Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 8th day of January, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Call, and the news from all across the board this morning and over the weekend is just plain insane. But if there is any kind of pattern in the madness, it certainly seems to have to do with things that have been hidden for so long ultimately being revealed, almost like maggots coming out of a corpse. Let's get one high-profile example out of the way right up front. There has been more revelation of the Epstein tapes, the Epstein lies, the Epstein cover-up, and even the Daily Mail had to say it this way in a headline that's been revised about four times since I started looking. More high-profile revelations, but still nothing that really amounts to a bombshell that we didn't already know, even if much of the waste stream hasn't spent too much time at all talking about it, unless, of course, it has to do with Donald Trump. And, of course, Prince Andrew is toast. Boeing, on the other hand, isn't exactly toast, but the 737 MAX series might be. Shares tumbled, say, a number of stories today in pre-market trading in New York after a shocking incident in flight on Friday evening when a mid-cabin exit door literally ripped off the Boeing 737 MAX 9 Alaskan Airlines jetliner, scaring the you-know-what out of passengers, many of whom wrote panic letters to their loved ones saying, "This is it, we're all toast." And the jet made an emergency landing. There were no serious injuries, says general coverage, unless you count shortened lifespans, and cell phones sucked out at 16,000 feet. Worse still for Boeing and its supplier, Spirit AeroSystems, there are a whole lot of pictures and videos online. Both the U.S. FAA and the European Union Aviation Safety Agency have grounded the jets for inspections, so major backups at Seattle-Tacoma are part of the fallout. And reports from Bloomberg Intelligence's George Ferguson and Melissa Balzano suggest that the mid-cabin exit door that ripped off the plane in flight, quote, probably stems from a manufacturing oversight, a sign of deficiency at Boeing's key supplier, Spirit AeroSystems. Said the analysis, manufacturing, training, and oversight appear to be lacking. And all of this, they noted, has become a, quote, unsettling pattern. By the way, since the 737 MAX has been in service in general since 2015 without a similar incident, but this one was manufactured more recently. Wonder if there's a dot to be connected there. Oh, well, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The headline seemed to suggest the big deal is that Boeing shares are down almost 9%. Spirit AeroSystems was hit over twice that. Well, competitor Airbus is up a teeny bit this morning. Here's another Monday morning quick sign of the times from Zero Hedge. The U.S. manufacturing sector slump has accelerated in December. In fact, U.S. manufacturing is said saw only 2 months in the entire year of 2023 that were not in contraction, and the year ended on a decidedly poor note as well, while the final December print dropped to 47.9, well into contraction. And across the board, they said it was ugly. What with renewed contraction in output, orders fell at a sharper pace, rates of inflation, here's a shocker, folks, picked up, and all of this resulted in the joint fastest drop in employment since June of 2020. Wonder what was happening then. There's a whole lot in here from Chris Williamson, chief business economist at S&P Global Momentum Intelligence, who said that U.S. manufacturers ended the year on a sour note. The slowdown is spreading to the labor market, what with factories cutting back sharply on their purchases of inputs in December. Suppliers were also less busy on average, yada, yada, yada. And given current trends, all of this points to, quote, downside risk to production, employment, and prices as we head into 2024, says Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge. Not exactly the Goldilocks soft landing everyone was believing, hoping for. On the some different aspects of what just might be the very same great big whopping lie. We'll start with this one from the Burning Platform, courtesy of Alex Berenson. You can't make this stuff up, he says. The solution to jab failure, in other words, the Zyklon B poison poke injection, you know it, more jab failure. The headline actually says the AARP just told his 38 million members to go out and get their eighth. That's one more than seven shot of mRNA. And given the headline here, he notes you just have to ask, is the lobbying group for older Americans rightfully called the AARP or maybe the AARP-Pfizer? Because they just told their nearly 38 million members that they'd better hustle out and get the next COVID jab, even if they've already had five boosters. Meaning this is the eighth, yep, you heard that right, eighth shot of mRNA that the pushers are pushing. There's a lot of hoo-ha this morning about the fact that America's biggest military traitor was out of commission. I can't help but think maybe the U.S. was better off for a little while anyway. Except for the obvious, of course. You know whoever was filling in was no better. But on Friday, it says the Pentagram revealed that Defense Secretary Sick Lloyd Austin, the so-called top defense official, what a lie, in the nation, was admitted to a D.C. hospital on Monday following complications from elective surgery, something the DOD managed to keep secret for 4 full days. They reiterated that it was due to complications from that undisclosed elective medical procedure, and he's expected to resume his full duties, well, now that we've told you about it, maybe later today. Meanwhile, others aren't quite so sanguine. The Pentagon Press Association, PPA, sent a letter from its board of directors to Austin's personnel on Friday evening, expressing significant concern about DOD's having hidden the news. Their letter says, "We're writing to express our significant concerns about the Defense Department, SIC, and its failure to notify the public and media about Lloyd Austin's current hospitalization and the fact that he's been at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center for 4 days, and the Pentagon is only now alerting the public late on Friday is an outrage because it falls far below normal disclosure standards that are customary by other federal departments when senior officials undergo either medical procedures or are temporarily incapacitated. Because, hey, say it with me, folks, the public has a right to know when U.S. cabinet officials, members, or others are hospitalized under anesthesia or their duties are being delegated as a result of any medical procedure. That's been practiced even up to the level of the presidency. Well, when it was a real office, anyway. Now the fake is senile, permanently incapacitated, and they've been leaving him in there anyway. The Daily Mail's coverage, on the other hand, focuses on the real president. And it says in their headline, "Trump says Defense Secretary Sick Lloyd Austin should be fired immediately for dereliction of duty after that mysterious ICU stint." Hey, they didn't tell us that, did they? That was kept hidden from the White House, even. Not that anybody of importance there would have even known. Trump, they say, expressed his anger on Truth Social, claiming Austin's failure to disclose his whereabouts in the hospital was grounds for immediate dismissal. Of course, treason would be too, folks, if we still cared about things like that. But Trump pointed out that even Austin's deputy was seemingly kept in the dark about his whereabouts. And this, folks, would almost be funny if it wasn't so serious. The Daily Mail includes a big picture of the deputy defense secretary, his subordinate, Kathleen Hicks, who was vacationing in Puerto Rico while her boss was sick in intensive care. This comment from Trump, though, is at least telling. He said concerning Austin, he has performed poorly, gee, do you think, and should have been dismissed long ago, along with general, he puts it in quotes, appropriately, Marxist Milley, he didn't spell that right, and for many reasons, but in particular the catastrophic surrender in Afghanistan, perhaps the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country, he added. And, says the piece, Trump has joined the growing calls for the Biden Fuhrer to fire Austin, who was admitted to, are you ready for this, folks, intensive care at Walter Reed Medical Center on January the 1st. But it wasn't until days later that many in the Pentagon and even the White House learned of his condition. When you see a cover-up like this, and the fact that he was in intensive care, and the fact that this is the same guy who ordered all of these soldiers, sailors, Marines, and aviators to take the Zyklon B injection, I gotta wonder, was he actually stupid enough to take his own satanic advice? And is that part of the reason why this cover-up is so intense? Or is it something else? I guess one thing we know is, they're not about to tell us. Item, and I guess this one's another sign of the times as well, renowned so-called liberal intellectual and evolutionary biologist Brent Weinstein, brother of Eric Weinstein, sat down with Tucker Carlson over the weekend where the two dissected the intricate web of various narratives surrounding the COVID-1984 plandemic and subsequent Zyklon B two-part bioweapon injection, along with related things like the big pharma industry and global shifts in governance and even public health sick policy. And what's surprising, folks, is how the liberal came right out and told us all what, well, most of us already knew, but at least even some of them are starting to figure it out. According to Weinstein, opposition to the official COVID narratives is kind of like taking on Goliath, with competent and courageous experts in various fields being aggressively censored, gee, do you think, during the pandemic, which led to the formation of what he called a dream team of dissenters. Now, what's truly interesting about this, folks, and kudos to both Brett Weinstein and Tucker Carlson for having the guts to finally come right out and say it, is that they're both directly addressing the level of evil. For example, one of the things Brett Weinstein said was, quote, I call the force we're up against Goliath. Goliath made a terrible mistake and made it most egregiously during COVID, which is that it took all the competent people, all the courageous people, and shoved them out of the institutions where they were hanging on. And it created, in so doing, the dream team. It created every player you could possibly want on your team to fight some historic battle against a terrible evil, he said, suggesting that the dream team is uniquely qualified to fight against those who botched the pandemic response with such deadly consequences. And he also discussed the demonization, as we have here and lots of others have as well on many occasions, of alternative treatments like hydroxychloroquine and, of course, ivermectin, and suggesting that the result was at least 17 million deaths from the not vaccine.
So I was recently at a conference in Romania on the COVID crisis. And so there was a lot of work trying to unpack what we actually understand. And I saw a credible estimate of something like 17 million deaths globally from this technology. So
17 million deaths from the COVID vax?
And yes, folks, we've heard that number quite a bit lately. And it's also nominally considered a low-end estimate. Others are saying it's probably well over 20 million. But hey, the point is, who's counting? Nobody who was actually involved in the mass murder, that's for sure.
It's not hard to reach a number like that with a technology this dangerous. Now, to your deeper question, I think let's steel man.
So just for perspective, I mean, that's like the death toll of a global war.
Yes, absolutely. This is a great tragedy of history. So that proportion.
But he wasn't done yet.
Amazingly, there is no way in which it's over. I mean, we are still apparently recommending these things for healthy children. Never stood any chance of getting any benefit from them. Every chance of suffering harms that are not only serious, but tragic on the basis that children have long lives ahead of them. If you ruin a child's immune system in youth, they have to spend the rest of their presumably shortened life in that state. So never made any sense that we were giving this to kids in the first place. The fact that we're still doing it when the emergency, to the extent there even was one, is clearly over.
And he noted, as have many others, not only did it not prevent the disease, it didn't prevent transmission either. And the kids, by and large, weren't at any risk from the disease itself, not so the vaccine, regardless.
Healthy kids don't die of COVID.
But Weinstein wasn't done pointing out the level of evil we're dealing with. He went on to expose the World Health Organization, WHO, and their neo-new dark age agenda, as Zero Hedge and some of the coverage there puts it. They intend to use this, gee, here's a shocker, to consolidate power and kill hundreds of millions, if not billions, more.
So you're saying that an international health organization could just end the First Amendment in the United States?
Yes, and in fact, as much as this sounds, I know that it sounds preposterous, but
it does not sound preposterous.
The ability to do it is currently under discussion at the international level. And it's almost impossible to exaggerate how troubling what is being discussed is. In fact, I think it is fair to say that we are in the middle of a coup. That we are actually facing the elimination of our national and our personal sovereignty, and that that is the purpose of what is being constructed.
And listen to this part, too. He's telling you that, yep, they tried to be deliberately obtuse so that most people wouldn't figure out exactly how evil what they've got planned is.
That it has been written in such a way that Your eyes are supposed to glaze over.
That's right.
As you attempt to sort out what is under discussion. And if you do that, then come May of this year, your nation is almost certain to sign on to an agreement that in some utterly vaguely described future circumstance, a public health emergency, which the Director General of the World Health Organization has total liberty to define in any way that he sees fit. In other words, nothing prevents climate change from being declared a public health emergency that would trigger the provisions of these modifications.
or the next iteration of Dr. Mengele's bioweapons. Be it Ebola or Marburg or whatever the new booga booga flu, Omega B52 death variant or whatever, might be released. The scarier the better.
And in the case that some emergency or some pretense of an emergency shows up, the provisions that would kick in are beyond jaw-dropping.
Unless, folks, you realize that they really do intend to kill you. And almost everybody that isn't a bought and paid for whore for Big Pharma, Big Brother, or Big Satan is figuring that out now. Since one of the themes today has to do with things that are hidden being revealed, I'll follow that up with two quick stories. The first one, courtesy of Steve Watson, Modernity News, Zero Hedge, and a whole bunch of others, and it should be. The Telegraph, he notes, reports that they have found a 50% increase in leaks and accidents, sick, at laboratories in the UK since the outbreak of the COVID pandemic in 2020, and they warn of, quote, potentially catastrophic consequences for the future. Sounds like predictive programming to me. And in case you're curious about the numbers, the investigation found that since January 2020, there have been 156 reports of lab leaks or accidents, about 42 per year, since the oh-so-successful rollout of the COVID pandemic, which is 50% higher than any years prior. And that's just in Britain, folks. Only takes one, of course. But think about it. When it comes to excuses, that means they've already got everything they need. And from RFK Jr.'s Children's Health Defense, we have this. A disabled vet has done some research. Steve Connolly, disabled Iraqi war combat vet and recovering alcoholic in Massachusetts, was horrified when he combined obituaries for the words suddenly and unexpectedly. And what he found, even among people he knew personally. The retired social worker who's cared for the most severe and violently mental ill patients in Massachusetts said that what were formerly routine AA meetings became scenes of more suffering and carnage than he'd ever witnessed in war or even among the, quote, worst of the worst in mental hospitals. In all my life, he said, I've never seen this many people that I know dropping dead in this span of time. He listed anecdote after personal anecdote and then noted that a physician in AA, whom he referred to as Dr. Michael, tried to debate Connolly about what they called the jab. I tried to explain it to him. He said he didn't believe me. 2 weeks later, he got the booster and died from a heart attack a few days later. Then they killed my friend, he said, and I started to investigate. What he found when he looked at deaths that were called suddenly or unexpectedly, those obituaries soared more than 62% across the entire U.S. after the rollout of the mRNA, not vaccines. And notes the piece, Connolly's data trove, assembled with the help of a Massachusetts systems engineer and vaccine death investigator named John Bodine Sr., matches to a remarkable degree the unprecedented rise in U.S. excess deaths and disabilities via government data reported by former BlackRock hedge fund manager Ed Dowd, Dr. Pierre Corey, and others. The names of many of those others you hopefully know, and the article goes into great detail describing the level of investigation that went into making the point. But, as Bodine put it, something is very wrong with public health, beginning not in the COVID year of 2020, but rather upon deployment of the transfecting gene therapy drug the government called a vaccine in 2021. He said, quote, this is an alarming trend that cannot be unseen. When does it all end? Connolly was asked. When do you stop looking at obituaries and get some peace? Answered Connolly, when they stop trying to kill us. When I see people start being perp-walked, Nuremberg 2 should happen. These people have to be held accountable, unquote. Speaking of which, we change gears, but maybe not quite as much as you might think. This comes from Jim Hofton, the Gateway Pundit, about a Metro D.C. police officer who's finally been identified. Yep, yet another criminal who fired into the crowd on January 6th with Stinger ball munitions without warning. And furthermore, it seems, in hindsight, we can now say this with some degree of clarity and certainty, deliberately ignited a riot. Says Jim Hoft, J6 Truth confirmed that approximately 1:24 p.m. after Metropolitan Police Inspector Glover ordered painful Stinger ball munitions to be thrown into the unaware and peaceful crowd, the crowd which had not been given a lawful order to disperse, four supporters of actually elected President Donald Trump were either killed or died in the following police violence. Their stories have never been told by the waste-stream lying news media, much less by the so-called January 6th Select Committee, which has done more to hide evidence and information and prevent the truth from coming out than the opposite. But we've known that for quite a while, too. Well, it says, J6 Truth has identified MPD officer Jimmy Chrisman as the dangerous thug who fired Stinger ball munition into the crowd of peaceful patriots on January 6. And the story notes that it is SOP, standard operating procedure, that any crowd should be given 3 audible warnings verified by another officer standing at the back of the crowd in order to ensure that it was heard. And guess what, folks? That was never done. The munitions were purposely fired to incite the supporters of President Trump, and as you know, the rest is history. The only question is whether or not it will ever actually be honestly written. But as I was recording this piece, I couldn't help but hearken back to something some of you may remember, an incident where 4 people were also killed by U.S. thugs. It was called Kent State in Ohio, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash wrote a song about it. Too bad they're not still around to do it today. On behalf of different people, 4 of whom were also killed, far dead in the D.C. swamp, without even so much as an honest reporting of what they died for.
We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming. Far dead in Ohio. Far dead in Ohio.
Far dead.
Tragically, I can't help but think this, too, is somehow related. You may have heard at least part of this story. On January 1, said a piece from the New York Post, also the Gateway Pundit, and no doubt many others, the People's Republic of California with a K will become the first state to offer free health care to all qualifying individuals, regardless of their age or whether or not they're an illegal invader. Even though the state faces a $68 billion deficit in the next fiscal year, and unlike Big Brother, can't print it. But wait, now there's more. The Daily Caller has reported that California's state so-called health care program, and that means if you don't care about your health, you can go get free whatever it is they're going to give you. It's called Medi-Cal, and it now is going to cover sex change surgeries and hormones for all the illegal immigrants that want to come on in and get it while the getting's good. This according to a memo that was first circulated in May of 2022. Still, the expansion, it says, is part of the state's broader efforts to provide health care sick, regardless of whether somebody is an illegal invader or a communist, well, they love that, or whatever the case may be, come on in and get it, because those who haven't left this state yet must be anxious to get ripped off in order to pay for it. Now, what's funny here, your host can't help but think, is that it's a puppet of their Communist Chinese Party masters. And I've been wondering for a while, given that we've seen leaked reports from Communist Chinese generals in the People's Liberation Army for years, that they intend to kill every single person on this continent when they get their way and complete their invasion, how are they going to get rid of all the new people that they're sneaking in with while they bring their own troops across the open border? Maybe this helps explain exactly how they intend to do it. Get them all to self-neuter and they'll be dead within a generation anyway. Cheap, easy, if you get somebody else to do it and pay for it, and relatively quick. Here's another in a long line of no surprise, but we knew it was coming. Another Amish organic farm has been raided in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County. We can't have the peons being allowed to purchase actually healthy organic food, can we? As Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey put it correctly, quote, looks like Amos Miller's farm is being raided. With all the problems in society today, this is what the government wants to focus on? A man growing food for informed customers without participating in the industrial meat-milk complex? Yeah, he said it's shameful that it's come to this. Yeah, well, that's one of several things that's shameful, folks. And we'll close with stories like this one, courtesy of a Swedish independent journalist who goes by the nom de plume Peter Sweden, and notes that buses in that northern European country are being canceled as Sweden experiences, no, not global warming, but the coldest winter and weather this century, like places close to minus 50 degrees Celsius. But wait, that's just part of the story. You see, the city of Skellefteå, where they only had minus 34 C this morning, he says, have been investing, sick, in electric buses in order to save the climate from man-made global warming. And the goal? Replace all diesel buses with electric as soon as possible. The problem? You know it. The electric buses don't go in the cold. They have to be parked indoors even to warm up. And furthermore, even if they did go, they wouldn't go very far because the heaters run on electricity too, which cuts the already pitifully limited range.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Mrs. Blue.
I guess.
Finally, folks, your host notes that in the U.S., weather watchers are gobsmacked by the fact that there's an impending climate emergency across the central United States because a massive polar vortex, in spite of non-existent man-made global warming, is expected to bring, well, record cold temperatures up to 75 degrees below normal real soon now. Brace yourselves and quit drinking the Kool-Aid and the Bud Light. Thanks for being with us, folks, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.